evening we will take our sermon time to look at a few questions. This evening we do regularly, not necessarily every month, but we try to do this from time to time, is to take a few questions. One doesn't really have anything to do with the other one, and spend a few minutes on each, and hopefully spur some other, some more extensive study on your behalf on these things. But we're going to have three, I think, very interesting questions tonight. First being, we assemble on Sunday night, and we give the Lord's Supper to those that were not in our morning service. But why don't we all partake when those people partake on Sunday night as well? Why are just the ones that weren't here this morning, why are they the only ones that do that? We also ask, why do we end prayers with "In Jesus' name, amen"? Another good question. And the third one being, when God created the world, was he creating those things in 24-hour periods, or were those days millions of years? And the word day meaning an era of time, because that's a thing that comes up many times with those that try to combine evolution and the origins of man as it's presented in Scripture. So again, three interesting questions tonight that we'll address. So we'll do that at 6 o'clock, and look forward to your being here, and thankful that you're here this morning. Beautiful day. The weather is getting warmer this week, and we're thankful for that after some very cold weather we've had lately. But we are always amazed by the world that God has made, and we see His glory. We'll see His glory for the next few months as things begin to grow and get green again, and we're thankful for every blessing that He gives us. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for our lives. We are thankful for our church family. We are thankful for our physical family and the love that exists in every situation. We know that we cannot get through this life by ourselves, and that you never told us to live our lives as Christians on an island, isolated from other believers. But we have the church. We have fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that are going through this life together. And we bear one another's burdens, and we weep with them, and we rejoice with them, and we try to help in any way that we can. And we know that the church is so essential to our lives, and we pray that we can grow closer to one another, to take advantage of opportunities to worship and to serve. And we all have experienced the blessings of the church, and we're thankful for it. We know there are many this morning who are weak. We know that their faith is not what it needs to be, and we pray that you lift them up to show them the things they need to see, surround them with people that need to be in their lives so that they can draw closer to you each day and not further away. We know there are some who are physically injured today due to disease or accident or other things, and we pray that you be with them as well and put your hand upon them to give them strength and healing. Bless this congregation of people who are weak, and we sin many times, and we pray that you continue to forgive us and cleanse us by the blood of Christ. We know that you're the only true and living God. You love us in ways that we cannot fathom, and we're thankful for your mercy and grace and the salvation that's found in Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. The Constitution of the United States, in the part that deals with the executive branch, the President, in Article 2, Section 3, says, "He shall from time to time give to the Congress information of the State of the Union, and recommend to their consideration such measures as he shall judge necessary and expedient." So that's why every year the President has a State of the Union address. It's a constitutional requirement that he does that. We don't really have anything like that in Scripture, in the New Testament, for us as congregations. But it is good, as the Constitution says, it is good for us from time to time to talk about the state of things. And this day is important to me. This is the third anniversary of my being here at Pleasant View. 3 full years have passed. That's quick, isn't it? Doesn't seem quite 3 years, but today is the beginning of my fourth year here at Pleasant View. So I think it's good that we sort of address the state of things and talk about ourselves for a moment, and also compare or look at two churches that we find in Revelation chapter 3, and one that I think we can strive to be more like, and one that we should try to avoid being like. It's all the same chapter in Revelation chapter 3. But first I was to begin with looking sort of at the state of things, and looking over the last 3 years. And some of the things I want to talk about here are things that were going on long before I came. It's not just simply since I've been here, but things that I have seen, of course, and that would be limited to my experience here at Pleasant View. When you look in the first area of communication, I think our communication has gotten better over the last several years. In the bulletin now, there are two articles there that I think are good for you to distribute. And I said earlier, I write those things on an email, actually, and then put them in a bulletin, but the email goes out to a lot of people. So if you know someone that you think would benefit from the two articles I write in the bulletin, just give me their email address. Or I'll email to you and let you forward it to them, however you want to do that. And we'll get that to them if you think that would be a benefit. I've done that for years and years now, and I've seen a lot of good that's come from that. I can get a message to somebody through their computer in their house or where they work, and they may never come in this building, but it's a way to establish a connection with those people and give them a lesson. We've improved communication in terms of our email system with Ms. Tabor and information that we can get to her that she distributes. And again, if she doesn't have your email address, give her your email address, because things happen between Sunday and Wednesday, or Wednesday and Sunday. And we need to get that out. So check your email, give her that information so we can be updated as much as we can be on news in the congregation. We had a picture directory that we got together. Again, that was good. Put names and faces together so when new people come, they can learn a little quicker about who we are. But look at our young people. Young people participate in Bible Bowl the last couple of years, something new here for this congregation, and that's been a tremendous benefit for them and all of our adults. We almost have about a one-to-one ratio of adults and children that go with us to Bible Bowl. So it's good for the adults. It's good for the young people to learn those lessons and to experience that. Our Vacation Bible School gets better every year and doing some things that make that a richer experience, something beyond just a Sunday school type of experience for our young people. Just as Mike mentioned in the announcements, now we're doing things, trying to do things about once a month for our young people, because we have more young people and we want them to establish relationships with people in this congregation. Not just with each other, people their age, but with older people in this congregation. We want them to be connected to this church and to have those relationships and to establish lifelong friendships and continue in their interest and activity with Pleasant View. We look in the areas of finance, financially. Where are we? What are the state of things? Well, since October of 2011, we've had a building fund. We are trying to save money to build a new facility that will last as long as this one has. Something that's up to date, something that is will accommodate us better for things regarding fellowship, things regarding our foyers and bathrooms and our classrooms, to give dedicated rooms for our teachers and all those types of things that we need that we've discussed. And just in that short amount of time, we're near $150,000. And March, the next month, has five Sundays. That fifth Sunday, everything in that contribution will go toward that fund. And so you have generously given to that, and that's worked extremely well to this point. We consistently exceed our need of $2,000 a week to operate. Anything over $2,000 in our contribution goes in our building fund. So again, we're usually over that number of 2,000, rarely dip below that. So you've been generous in your giving every week. And that's encouraging. I talk to preachers all the time. I'm around preachers all the time. And one of the things that comes up in their congregations are money problems. Things have to be cut. Things have to be adjusted. The economy the last several years in America, of course, has dipped. And that has hurt churches. And churches talk about adjustments and needs that they have and things they can't support anymore and so on. And I'm thankful that we haven't had those discussions yet. And you've been generous. You need to continue to do that. Continue to find ways to be sacrificial in your giving. We have continued to support our missionaries. You can see every month, Johnny puts the budget on the wall. You can see where every dollar goes. And you can see the mission efforts that we support. We have helped with people who've had their houses burned down in the community. We've helped a young man at MTSU who's a missionary, who's Chinese, who's studying here. He's going to go home to China to do work there. We've supported him in a one-time contribution for him. And we could go on and on to talk about the things. And again, these are things that have gone on long before the last few years. These are things that have been going on for 100 years at Pleasant View. This church has been giving to worthy causes, things that are good, things that spread the gospel, and things that where faithful men and women have been able to do what they do, because everything we do in life costs money. It'd be wonderful if we could do things free, but even things related to church work require money, and good works require finances. And so we need to be considering that all the time. In regard to teaching, we've had, I believe, some great teachers come for our vacation Bible schools and our gospel meetings since I've been here, and people that I enjoy listening to preach, people who have helped me. And I try to bring people here that I think will help you. And I try to use that time to be productive for our adults. We have adult classes for our vacation Bible school. We have a week of our gospel meeting in July. And I think those teachers have done an excellent job. I think we've had new teachers for our classes on Wednesday night and Sunday school. People that have said, I'm ready to teach and I want to teach. We're thankful that over the last few years we've had more people involved in our teaching programs. We've used the baptistry here more the last few years, but not enough. And I suppose every church would look at it the same way. There'll never be a point when we say we've used the baptistry too much. There'll never be a point where anybody says that. Any church is going to say that. We need to use it more. And I know that's something that's... the Bible tells us to plant seed. The Bible tells us to share the gospel and teach. And then it's incumbent upon the person to respond. And so we need to continue to teach, continue to encourage, and hopefully by those efforts, the Lord will bless us and there'll be more people be saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for those in the last few years that we've seen baptized into Christ, and maybe someone today that will also confess Christ and do that. We were fortunate to receive a very favorable article in the Ashland City Times not too long ago, the Robertson County Times. It came out the same day. The day it came out, somebody saw somebody in Springfield, said, I saw the article about your church. It was the same day. And that's been a blessing to us, and to receive something favorable from somebody that just came to us and said, we want to write an article about your congregation. It was free. They initiated that article, and I'm thankful of several of you that participated to make that happen. We've seen an attendance increase. We've had many new families here at Pleasant View over the last several years. We're thankful that we've had more song leaders over the last several years, some men that have never led songs before and definitely didn't growing up, but have now comfortable in doing that, and thankful that we have many men that are helping us in that regard. Our food groups are doing well, and people are trying to recognize when some might need a few meals during times when they're struggling. And we're thankful that we've had to meet at the school to have some fellowship meals, because our fellowship room, or where we eat there in the back, has sort of outgrown it. And that's a good thing. That's a good problem to have. We could go on and on. I said these things are not necessarily in the last few years. Some of these things have gone on for 100 years. I want us to just notice some of those. Things go on so many times and we don't realize it. It's sort of happened gradually. We don't take the time to stop and say, wow, there's a lot of new things going on that are good. But we need to also recognize that we shouldn't see any of these things as accomplishments. They're not really accomplishments. It's not that we deserve awards. We've crossed some finish line somewhere. None of these things also are done by one person. Nothing that I've discussed so far this morning is really the result of just one person doing that. And even if it is something that just one person has done, it's usually the result of an encouragement that they've gotten from somebody else here. So it took maybe two or three people to get one person to do something they've never done before. So one person doesn't do anything, really. It's by the encouragement or the help of others. We also know that none of these things necessarily are perfectly done. That any of these things that I mentioned at times cannot be done the right way, or there can be miscommunication, there can be wrong thing said, the wrong thing done at the wrong time, and so on. We're going to make mistakes. We have made mistakes. That's going to continue to happen as long as human beings are part of the Pleasant View Church of Christ. We also need to remember that all of these things are, however, a blessing from God. That God has blessed us. That's how we need to see these things, as blessings. We also need to realize that all of these things are good for the group. They're good for the whole. Good for all of us. They bless us in some way. We also need to see that all these things help us grow closer to God. There's one more way to serve. There's one more thing going on. That's one more thing that gets somebody thinking about God or thinking about the church or thinking about serving somebody else. That's why we do things. That's why we do more than just come to a worship service or a Bible study. And so that on Monday or a Tuesday or a Friday or a Saturday, somebody can think about Jesus. Somebody can think about serving. But it's very interesting as you read the New Testament, you read the book of Acts, or you read the letters that Paul wrote to churches or to individuals. You'll notice some things that are not there. Some things that you will not see addressed to churches. One of the things that you won't see addressed to a church is the phrase, be comfortable. Paul never told that to a church. Take it easy. You've done a lot of good things. God has blessed you. You need to back off a little bit. You need to slow down. You need to stop evangelizing. You need to stop teaching for a while because everything is just where it needs to be. Paul never said to any of the churches in his writing, you need to be stagnant. You need to just keep doing what you do and never really grow, never really do too much, never make any sacrifice, never be uncomfortable. Just sort of stay right where you are. That's not in the Bible either. When Paul addressed things to churches, or when you see a church in the book of Acts that's been established, they're encouraged to grow, they're encouraged to thrive, they're encouraged to do more. They're encouraged to seek more opportunities because the Lord's always looking for one more person to grow in their faith, or one more person to establish their faith and become a Christian. Never told to be comfortable, never told to be stagnant. Always grow, always advance. We can't really talk about the state of things in the congregation without talking about the fact that we need elders. We're on a glaring, obvious need here at Pleasant View. And it's something that, of course, has been discussed quite a bit over the many years that this church has not had elders. 2012, I spent a long time teaching about the eldership. We spent a long time taking names of those who were qualified and discussing things with those men. And to those who are qualified, to those who were considering that position within the church, I want to say this, that for whatever reasons were for not accepting that responsibility, whatever your reasons were, hopefully you didn't come to that conclusion out of fear. Because when we read the Bible, We read about a lot of fearful, faithful people. Genesis to Revelation, you read a lot about God's people being afraid. You see 12 spies go into the promised land and 10 come back afraid. Or you see them about to go into the promised land and you see fearful people. And you see Moses standing at the burning bush hearing God's voice. And he says, I can't do this. I'm afraid. Egypt's the biggest power in the world and they've had our people for 400 years and you're asking me to talk and I don't speak very well. I'm afraid. A lot in the Bible about the people of God being afraid, and we could go on and look at a lot of other people who had moments where they were fearful and the same thing came to them. The same message was given. Don't be afraid. Matter of fact, Paul and his teaching to Timothy, a young man that seemed to be kind of sickly, if you read what Paul wrote to him, he seemed to be, we know he's very young. Young people tend to be afraid of the future. One of the last things Paul ever told Timothy, he says, "For God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and discipline." Paul said, in other words, God didn't make you afraid. Whatever fear that you have didn't come from God. It came from the guy in the darkness. It came from something you heard over here. It came from the things you see in the world that are dangerous. You see, you got fear from Satan. And when people sin and how their lives are ruined, that's how you became afraid. That didn't come from the Lord. He didn't give you a spirit of fear. So for the men who are considering that role, that position, let it not be from, I'm afraid of what may come. Because the Lord is going to bless those who are faithful. And if he can tear down the walls of Jericho, if he can lead people out of Egypt, I think he will guide you in your work as an elder. So I want those men to think about that. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3. Very briefly, I want us to look at two different churches. And I want us to start with a negative, so we'll end on a positive. We'll end with the good one. So we have to start with the negative. We begin in Revelation 3, beginning in verse 14. It said, "To the angel of the church at Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this." Verse 15 of Revelation 3. "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. But because you say, I am rich and I have become wealthy and I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love I reprove and discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent." Church at Laodicea evidently was close to the town of Colossae. Four times in the book of Colossians we see a reference to Laodicea. But they're not just here, Colossians. So we think it's close to Colossae. Paul didn't establish the church at Laodicea, or Colossae for that matter. But you have some things in this message to this church that you got to know a little bit about the town of Laodicea to really get the full message here. Laodicea was about 5 miles from a hot springs. And this hot springs would feed down the 5 miles and get to Laodicea. But of course, by the time it got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. There's a big water aqueduct. A big aqueduct there in Laodicea. And it was heavy water. It was hard and didn't taste very good. It was drinkable, but it wasn't great. And it's because of this, the distance here from where they would get hot water and another part on the opposite direction that would bring in more cold water. And the message to them is, Jesus says, through John, he says, "I wish that you were either hot or cold." Some people read this and say, well, why would the message be, I want you to be cold? He doesn't want a church to be cold, does he? What does he mean by, I'd rather you be hot or cold? Well, cold doesn't mean dead. He's saying, look, how do you want water? You either want hot water or you want cold water, because those things are both effective. They even knew that 2,000 years ago. Just like we do today, you know, cold water is good for things, hot water is good for things, but the middle, you'll drink it, but most people aren't real crazy about that. You want hot or cold? I want you to be useful. Jesus said, Laodicea, I want you to be a useful church. I want you to be on one end or the other. I want you to be hot and useful, or be cold and useful. That's good water. But you know what? You're kind of like that water that y'all drink all the time, that you don't really like. See, it's a practical illustration there. I don't want you to be like that. He said, you're lukewarm. You're good enough. You're fat and happy. He said, you're wealthy. And he said, you look at things and say, I don't need anything. I got everything I need. He says, I need of nothing. But the Lord says, don't you know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? This was actually, Laodicea is a very wealthy city. Laodicea was actually a very independent city. We know from history that there was an earthquake in Laodicea once, and the Romans, who were in control of everything, came down to help them rebuild. They refused to help. They rebuilt their city from an earthquake all by themselves. So you have a very independent group of people, and you have a wealthy group of people who just say, well, I don't really need God. We got everything we need. The Lord says, you're not effective. You're just content in your stuff, in your things. You don't need me. It's interesting here that he says he wants them to have white garments. Guess what one of the biggest businesses was in Laodicea? They sold black wool. They also had a school of ophthalmology, which was rare in those days. They had a school where he learned about vision. They would take care of people's eyes. He says, I want you to wear white garments so you may clothe yourself, for the shame of your nakedness not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Laodicea, they thought, oh no, we're good at that. We've got our own eye place. We can see ourselves. We can help people see. And the Lord told them, you don't really see anything. You don't see. You think you do. You think since you're wealthy, you don't need anything. But you do. Again, the Bible doesn't tell anybody, any church, to be content and comfortable and just go along with things. And it's really the message here to Laodicea. See, Christians should remain in a state of constant neediness. No matter how much money you have, or how little money you have, no matter how healthy you are or how sick you are, no matter where you are in life, we always need the Lord. We're always striving to teach one more person. We're always trying to increase our faith. Constant state of neediness. Laodicea didn't need anything, they thought. And the Lord said, you do. You need to wake up. We never, here at Pleasant View, need to be in a state where, well, things are just fine and we'll stay where we are and we don't need any more or want any more people to be a part of this congregation. And the Bible doesn't tell us to be that way. The Bible tells us more to be like the church at Philadelphia. Back up to verse 7 and look at what the Lord says to the church here at Philadelphia, beginning in verse 7 of Revelation 3. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, he who is holy, who is true, is the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. I will make them come and bow down at your feet to make them know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word and my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have so that no one will take your crown. This was the church of opportunity. He said, I put an open door in front of you. And why did he do that? He says, because you don't have a lot of power. He said, you don't have a lot of strength. You're a small group of people. Reminds us of when Paul was talking about that thorn in the flesh he had. He prayed the Lord to take it from him, but the Lord responded and said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And Paul said, "Okay." And he said, "I get it now. When I'm weak, that's when I'm the strongest." Church at Philadelphia here evidently is small. They're weak. The Lord says, "You know, you're small, but you never denied me. You never did. You've always kept my word." And the Lord blessed them. He said, "I'm going to open doors for you. You're going to have opportunity. You're going to have everything you need, even though you're small, even though you have little power." We see closed doors a lot. It's easy for human beings to see closed doors. Instead of an opportunity, instead of an open door, we say, "Well, we can't do anything there. That's a closed door, and that's a closed door, and I can't, and we can't, and we can't, and we can't," and so on and so forth. And the Lord said, "Even if you're small, even if you have a little power, I'm going to open a door for you." And God's not going to push you through the door. God's not going to push anybody through a door of opportunity. You have every right in the world to say no to God. You have every right in the world to deny something that He wants you to do, to give an excuse to say why you can't. And that's a decision that you have to live with. But God said, "I'm going to open a door for you. I'm going to give you opportunity." And even if you're small, like this church, He says, you can still be faithful. And look at what He says. He says, "I'm going to defeat your enemy. I'm going to take care of those things." It's a lot like marching around the city of Jericho. See, if they didn't march, those walls weren't going to come down. And without God, those walls weren't going to come down. See, the feet didn't do it. It was the faith that brought the walls down. It wasn't the feet, it was the faith. And it's the same true here in Philadelphia. It's your faith that I notice. You've remained faithful. So I'm going to do some work for you. I'll do the things that you can't do for yourself. Hope at Pleasant View we continue to be a church like Philadelphia, not a church like Laodicea. It's going to take all of us. It'll take your participation. It's going to be each of us doing what we can do. Can't do everything, but you can do something to help this church continue to grow and thrive. And I appreciate everything that you've done for me over these last 3 years, the way that you've blessed my life, and the opportunities that you've given me. We've talked a lot this morning about opportunities. You have an opportunity this morning to become a Christian. Yesterday, you didn't know there would be a today. We assume there would be a today. You made plans for today. You've probably made plans for this week. Well, those days aren't guaranteed. The Bible says life is like a vapor. We don't have those guarantees. We just have what the day that we've been given. And if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to take advantage of this day while you have it. And say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God. I'll repent of my sins and be baptized." Why? For the forgiveness of those sins. The Bible says you'll rise to live a newness of life. If you need to do that or you just need prayers, we can also assist you with that. We encourage you to come now while we stand and sing.